before we talk about last night's, you know, the Bulgarian job or whatever it is. I mean, there's so many. you could come up with so many. I like the Bulgarian job. I want to talk about just about the NHL in general. Because I was thinking about this going into the Habs game and just checking the standings. And then, you know, NHL.com dropped the nugget on us about how there's a chance, and it's still slim, but it's not entirely out of the question that we could have two teams that were in last place a quarter of the way through the season, or after 20 games of the season, both make the playoffs. That doesn't often happen in this league. I'm just going to ask you, because you've been around this league a lot, is this league better on balance than a lot of us think it is?
I think you can make that case. I mean, certainly there's the balance of power shifted between the conferences. I mean, for years, the West was deemed, and I think rightfully so, to be much stronger. You know, I think it's come over to the East. I mean, there's certainly four or five teams in the West that I could see winning the Stanley Cup if things went their way. But, you know, everyone else below them is also in the playoff race, but also in the race for the bottom of the standings because they don't have as much going on. But, you know, there's not as much separation, I don't think, between, you know, teams 1 through 20 as there used to be. And you know, it's a tough league to get a handle on. I mean, really only Tampa's running away with it. Everywhere else you look, there's going to be pretty close jockeying for positions. And, you know, I'm sure that'll go right down to the last weekend of the season.
What do you think explains that balance of power shift to the East? Is it a matter of, you know, something being cyclical? I mean, I guess it helps or hurts depending on your point of view, doesn't it? When you've got the LA Kings and the Anaheim Ducks, two teams that have, you know, had a pretty significant impact in the NHL in recent years, both in the middle of rebuilds or at least starting a rebuild. I mean, that has to have something to do with it at least.
Yeah, and I think some of it's style of play. I mean, those Western teams were built kind of in the heavy model and you know, a lot of big forwards and the game's gone so fast. And so I think some of those teams were just caught between cycles, so to speak. And you know, even yesterday with the Ducks making their coaching change, you know, one thing that Bob Murray said afterwards was that he recognizes his team has to get younger and faster. And you know, for a few reasons, I think teams out in the East have done that. I mean, Toronto obviously recognized that shift that was occurring, and you know, it's been at the sort of forefront of it with the way they've drafted and you know, some of the things they've done the last few years. And you know, I do think it's part cyclical and just part an evolution of how people view, you know, team building. And you know, maybe some of those strong teams out West a decade ago didn't recognize the shift that was coming.
All right, let's talk about the Leafs in, or specifically after this weekend, the overtime win over Montreal. A lot of traffic in front of Freddie Anderson. He got shaken up at one point in the game, and then last night was just silly. I don't even know how else you can describe it. A lot of emphasis though on the power play, and rightfully so. The Leafs' power play has, as our friend Luke Fox pointed out, has declined month by month since the start of the season. And if you look at this, division, Chris, you've got Tampa Bay and Boston with two of the league's elite power play units. And then you got the Leafs and Buffalo sort of in the lower middle, and then Montreal down at the bottom. I mean, I'm almost getting the sense that power plays may make the difference in this division this year.
Maybe in the regular season. You know, I think that there's a couple ways to look at this. The Leafs lead the league in even strength goals. And, you know, typically in the playoffs when the games are called closer and you don't see as many power plays, I mean, I think that that's a good indicator that they're still built to have success. And, you know, the weird thing with the Leafs power play is that if you look at some of the underlying numbers, they lead the league in expected goals for on the power play. Essentially, it tells us that they're doing a lot of things right, but the results clearly, you know, especially since the start of December, haven't been where they want to be. And so, you know, stylistically last night, it was clear that there was some adjustments made even from the game in Montreal, even with the back-to-back with some of the things John Tavares was doing, you know, not being stationed right directly in front of the net, a few plays where he wasn't looking for the cross-crease play and then took the shot himself. And so, I think that they've reached a point where they're scrutinizing how they're doing things and are trying to find some answers because, honestly, with the talent they have and the amount of shots and chances they generate, they should be doing better than they are. And then last night's game, I mean, we don't want to put too much stock in it because it's very rare you're going to go up against a goaltender who plays as well as Gorgiev did last night against the Leafs. But, they did everything right but score. And I think that in some ways has been the tale of what's gone on for a little while. The Leafs went through a stretch where they didn't draw very many penalties. And that changed in the game last night. I mean, getting four power plays is a lot nowadays and probably should have resulted in at least one goal, if not more. But, it's pretty clear this is a point of discussion with the coaching staff. We saw Jim Miller, the assistant coach who's in charge of the power play, and Mike Babcock having a pretty spirited discussion on the bench in Montreal before the third period. And I would think as we go further into this road trip, we're going to see more changes. Maybe not so much personnel, but the way the Leafs are moving the puck around because they got to find some answers here in the regular season for it.
I was going to say that conversation was notable. What do you think was the thing that spurred it? Like, why now? Because this has been an issue. As I mentioned, if you look at the numbers, month by month, the Leafs' power play in terms of percentage has gotten worse. And you're right, their play at full strength is they've been dominant. I mean, there's no other way to put it. But what do you think has kind of brought it together at this point?
Well, I think to be around Mike Babcock is never to be comfortable. And the sort of discussion we saw on the bench there, the cameras caught on the bench, is probably the sort of thing that's happening behind the scenes quite often, I would think, on his coaching staff. I mean, Mike's a guy that actually welcomes new ideas, has always hired assistant coaches out of the box, not always the same guy. He's looking for the next thing. And I don't think he minds that kind of discussion. I'm sure in some ways he'd prefer we didn't all see it and give us something to talk about. And I noticed Mike seemed to be trying to downplay it a little bit yesterday, but, they see those numbers, the way we see them, and then they're tracking them day by day very closely. And, they know that it could be the difference between some wins. It could be the difference between home ice advantage or not in the playoffs, which I think is still a pretty big internal priority for this team. And the standings are pretty compressed if you look at, Toronto, Montreal, and Boston in the 2-3-4 spots. So, I'm sure it just bubbled over in that moment because things aren't working as well as they'd like and they're not getting the results. But, I still do myself. I don't worry about it as much just because they get so many chances and shots and they have elite shooters on that power play. So, I think that the adjustments have to continue, but I just can't believe that their percentage of success is going to continue to be so bad if they still get that many chances.
Yeah, and I don't know, CJ, I don't know what you can do to that first unit in terms of personnel. I mean, that has been tried, hasn't it? For the most part. I mean, to me, what I found interesting is hearing Mitch Marner talk after the game about how we're more patient, and he talked about being more patient bringing the puck in. And I hate to disagree with Mitch, but I think if the Leafs had an issue with their power play, it's that at times they're too patient and they seem reluctant. Last night wasn't the case, but they have seemed reluctant to shoot the puck at the net. And, we just look at the success this team has had recently when they do start firing the puck from the point. Like, to me, that's the one thing I've noticed about this team is they just seem to be reluctant to tee it up from the point.
Right. And especially the first unit, that isn't really a skill set they have. I mean, Morgan Rielly, one of the things he doesn't possess is a big slap shot by NHL standards. And, he mans the top of that first unit. I think that's one thing with Jake Muzzin. And we saw they got a couple power play goals or one just after one expired, one last week in a game, directly a result of him creating a shot from the point and maybe stretching out the penalty killers more. I think if anything, we've seen teams aren't afraid of the shot on the first unit. And so they're able to keep their four guys low. And really keep a tight box in front of the net, which, obviously, doesn't allow Matthews and Tavares and those guys to get in and get a close shot from a high danger area. But, look, when they're at their best, I think they are producing a lot quickly. And because if you're moving the puck quickly, those guys don't have time to react. And literally anyone on that I think you're comfortable if you're Mike Babcock with any of those five guys getting a shot, just because they are such great offensive players on the first unit. So, you know, I think they'll keep working at it. But as I say, I just can't believe it'll continue to be a sore point, just because I think there's too much talent there to be held back.
I thought Frédéric Gauthier's game on Saturday, back home in Montreal, was one of his. That may have been one of the most effective first periods he's had in a Leafs uniform. Now Tyler Innes, of course, is coming off, or has come off, the IR, and I have no idea. I presume he'll be used at some point during this road trip. How do you think Mike Babcock manages a situation with Tyler Innes? Is Par Lindholm the obvious guy to you?
Well, it's either Lindholm or Gauthier, you know, because Lindholm can play center. He hasn't been doing that of late. But if they took Gauthier out, you know, I would expect you'd see Lindholm in the middle with Ennis and maybe Brown, or maybe Johnsen, whichever of the wingers is going at that point. And, you know, I think Gauthier has given the coaching staff a little bit to think about. I mean, you're right, the fourth line in Montreal, I won't say won them the game, but you know, got them on the way and yes, essentially got Montreal's fourth line shut down for the night. I mean, the Habs basically played three lines after the way the Leafs' fourth line dominated theirs in that game. And you know, really, as much as you could ask from that kind of group. And, you know, I don't know what's going to go on. I would have thought Ennis would have played on the second half of back-to-backs, but after how well things went in Montreal, you know, Mike Babcock didn't put him back in there. And so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if you saw a little bit of a rotating cast with you know, maybe Gauthier sitting out a bit, maybe Ennis being part of that, and also Lindholm. You know, it's tough to say that he hasn't really tipped his hand at that one, but, you know, it's an advantage the Leafs have, and maybe one we don't look at so much because obviously we're focused on the stars on the team. But, you know, I think they do have a pretty good fourth line relative to others around the league. And, you know, even Tyler Ennis, I don't know what version of him will return from this injury because he's been off for quite a while. But, you know, he was playing well and putting up points but before he got injured. You know, Andreas Johnsen has been bouncing back and forth, but he's put up a lot of points as a fourth liner. And you know, that's a pretty effective unit for the Leafs just because of their forward depth.
Would you expect to see Freddie Anderson play every game in this road trip?
I would think so. You know, there's no back-to-backs on the trip with Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday. And you know, we've really kind of seen him settle back into that sort of rhythm. So, you know, assuming he's totally healthy, which I have no reason to believe he isn't, you know, I'd be surprised if he didn't ride this thing out now.
All right, having seen Montreal now, Chris, and I know you've paid attention to them, obviously, before Saturday's game, are they for real?
Oh, they're for real. You know, they don't have the high-end options the Leafs do, so they don't scare you maybe with the names quite as much when you write the lineup on the board. But when you see the way they play, I mean, they pressure teams all over the ice. And you know, the one thing I'll say about them is whoever gets them in the first round, it might yet be Toronto, but if not, is going to have their hands full just because of how determined Claude Julien has them playing. And, you know, the fact that Carey Price, I think he didn't have the greatest game against the Leafs, but in general, he's been back. I mean, the numbers show that he's really returned to being an above average goaltender. And so you combine that with Shea Weber's, you know, positive impact since he's returned from injury. And, you know, that to me is still a scary team. They're not going to be favored, I don't think, against anyone, but, you know, they have upset written all over them. Just because they're so disciplined in how they pressure the puck and don't give teams any chance to set up. And, you know, I know the Leafs have been saying that right from the beginning. They played them towards the end of the preseason schedule and then in the first game of the season. And a few of the guys came out of that game expressing a lot of respect that this wasn't the same Canadiens team as you know, we saw last year. And you know, I think that's continued now through 4 months of the season. You know, we've got enough sample size to say that they're for real. They're not a Stanley Cup contender at this point, but they could scare some of the contenders if they have to face them.
Yeah, and I think we all sort of expected that a Montreal-Toronto series would be something else, and I think that game absolutely just reinforced that. I think it changed.
I've got that one on my bucket list. I hope it happens.
Yeah, I don't think anybody
during my time covering this sport.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what the tenor of that series would be. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Chris, thanks so much for doing this, man. Really appreciate it.
All right, Jeff. Have a good Monday, Val.